Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to New Heights Educational Group Radio Show. My name is Kaden Behan, your host and a volunteer for New Heights Educational Group. Here today we have with us our special guest, Greg Morton, and our co-host, Pamela Clark. But before we begin, we have some announcements to make. All home, school, charter, school, and public school families, the New Heights Educational Group Resource and Literary Center is offering its bi-weekly or monthly enrichment day classes starting in September or October. Classes will be held in the science at the Zion Lutheran Church. These notes are not religion-based unless families want there to be a class on this topic. If you are interested in participating, volunteering, or tutoring, please contact us at newheightseducation@yahoo.com or visit our website at www.newheightseducation.org. We are in need of a volunteer to oversee these activities. One volunteer is required. Parents and students are required to participate in these classes and to help with the planning of them. Classes may be offered this year include culinary, history, people-to-people class, and an art class as well, but fresh ideas for classes are always welcome. The next information was also shared in our August newsletter if you'd like to sign up to receive our newsletter, please email us. And this is as Company of the Year for nonprofit or government organizations, for winner of the International Business Awards this year, and in the International Business Awards, we were automatically added under the People's Choice Awards. Anyone that wants to show their support can come visit our webpage and vote for the People's Choice Awards, Choice Media Awards for Favorite Company, which is now open for voting and under nonprofit and government. Please choose the New Heights Educational Group. Voting concludes September 13th. And I'll now turn it over to our co-host, Pamela Clark.
Hello. Actually, I just got an email this week that they have extended the sign-up for that People's Choice Award a little longer. And I can't remember the date, but it is after September 13th. So, again, as Kaden said before, Greg Morton from Morton Design Works is with us today, and his wife setting in, too. Hello. How are you guys?
Hello.
So what's your wife's name again? I'm sorry.
Sandra,
that's right. So why don't you introduce yourself to our audience and then give them a little bit of background on yourself.
Well, I'm Greg. And
I'm Sandra.
And I run Morton Design Works, which is really a freelance design firm that kind of encompasses a lot of what I do. My background, going back to when I was 10 years old, I was a child actor, and I appeared in a number of television commercials and then appeared in all four seasons of the CBS show Scarecrow and Mrs. King. And I did acting for a number of years and then kind of graduated from that into being just a normal kid. And then actually started writing when I was in high school and doing a lot of poetry. And then from high school kind of segued my way into a business career. And the whole time I started, I was still writing and was actually developing ideas and went to school to become a graphic designer and things like that. And so a number of years ago, I started Morton Design Works. And it involves some of the books that I've written. I've got six out right now. I've got a lot of graphic design work. It encompasses Formula Sport, which is a T-shirt company. What else? I think that's the graphic design work, the novels. We've got some adventure films that are online. That's part of Morton Design Works. So that's pretty much what we do. We're
the radio show.
Oh, the radio show when we have it, the two of us. So
what you said, you were thinking of starting back up.
Yeah, we like I was telling you, we were hoping to have it the radio show back up in July, and then this is for a lot of people that have been following me. This has been kind of a crazy year for me. personally. So, you know, and scheduling conflicts are the reason that we had to kind of shelve the radio show to begin with. So we hope to have that up at some point soon. But doing everything we can just to stay creative and come up with new ideas and try and have fun.
But yeah, tell us about some of your books and what are the names of your books?
Well, you know, I'm not one to just kind of sit still and kind of pin myself to one genre. I started in action adventure, and I've got two books in the action adventure genre. My very first book was called The Fury of the Bear, and it follows a mountain adventurer, a mountain rescuer, and his team, and they're hired to do a job in the Andes Mountains to salvage a plane crash. And it's kind of, people ask me, what's your character like? And I tell them the main character, Virgil, is kind of a cross between James Bond and Indiana Jones. You know, he's a little bit of both. And so it's kind of an espionage thriller a little bit. It's an action-adventure book. And so I released that in 2010, and then the story was so big that I couldn't just have it in one book. So I wrote a sequel to that that kind of finishes the story, and that book is called To Catch a Fox. And it completes that story, but it's kind of a good book all on its own, actually, because it's they're globetrotters, and it's got a lot of action, and the story is a continuation, but there are a lot of elements that are unique to that book. So those are the action adventure books that I have, and I wrote them specifically for pretty much all ages. You know, I tried to keep them clean. I tried to keep them not too violent, but with a lot of action. And so that's the action adventure books that I have. I have a poetry and photography book. I'm what I would consider an amateur photographer. I have a good eye. Some people say I have two good eyes. So my poetry book is called The Untitled Poems. A lot of poetry that I've written, they just don't have titles, just for whatever reason. And so I had this collection of poems that didn't have titles, and so I threw them in a collection with some of my photography, and I released that. What else do I have? I have the nonfiction book, which is called Lifting a Foot Forward.
Motivational book.
Yeah, it's a motivational book. A lot of people who have followed me know that in 2008 I was rescued from the mountains because, I'm kind of an adventurer. I like to climb the mountains. I like to surf in the ocean. And in 2008, while I was up in the mountains, I had to be rescued because we were up there in the snow and conditions were really bad, and I fell. So San Bernardino County Sheriff had to rescue me. They had to pick me up off the mountain in a helicopter. And a lot of people ask, when they hear that, they say, tell me about the rescue. And so for me, it was really a life-changing moment. And my whole story is more than just being picked off a mountain in a helicopter. And so I wrote this book called Lifting a Foot Forward that details how my life changed, how I grew up and some of the challenges that I was faced with. The centerpiece of the book is my rescue in 2008. And then the third half of the book is all motivational stuff. It's all stuff on how I changed my life, how I live a balanced life, moving forward, some of the creative things that I've done. And so I released that book last year, kind of in the springtime. And then the book that I'm really, really excited about that hasn't quite taken off just yet, but I think it's going to, is the children's book that I wrote, which is called A House in a Field of Reeds. And it's for what I would say ages 8 and up. And I've had a lot of adults read it already and just really, really like the book. And it's actually a collection of four short stories. And each story represents a season of the year. So the book starts out with spring. And it starts out with a story called Mrs. Potter's Lullaby. And Mrs. Potter's a pixie. Her best friend is a giant. So there's some magic. There's no vampires or boy wizards. I think that the genre of young adult literature or children's literature has had enough of that. So I kind of went in a little bit of a different direction. But there is some magic. There's fantasy. It kind of takes me back to the action-adventure genre a little bit. So there's spring, there's summer, which follows a couple of kids on a kind of a road trip. There's fall, which is a really great story. It's called Aiden and the Apple Orchard, and that story probably has the most magic in it, I think. Although the very last story is probably my favorite story. It's called The Kingdom of Winter, and it's kind of a retelling of the origin story of Santa Claus. And,
really?
Yeah, it's kind of my take on the legend of Santa Claus. And it kind of takes us before he was actually Santa Claus. And it's a story that's really close to my heart. It's probably the longest story in the collection. And it's a great way to end the book. It's just an absolutely fantastic way to end the book. And it really ends the book on the promise of hope, which is what I had wanted to do. And so I'm really proud of this book. I think, to pat myself on the back, I think I did a great job.
It's the kind of book, really, that we had talked about. Parents can, you know, pile their kids on their lap and read the book to them all in one sitting, or break it down into four different times, you know, each season, pick up the book and read it to them, you know, at four different times during the year. Grandparents can do it with their grandchildren, or the children can do it by themselves if they're able. Of all the books that I have read of his, it's my favorite, which says a lot because, I mean, he's an incredible writer, and It's my favorite. It's the most special of the books for me. It's a beautiful piece. It really is.
Well, thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
Aww. I'm getting all teary-eyed. But yeah, really, that was the goal of the book, is that for the longest time I didn't even release it in digital form, because the whole idea was, Sandra and I both grew up at separate times, but in her household, she grew up sitting on the lap of her parents, and her parents would read to her. And in my household, that's what we did too. You know, my dad every year would put my brother and I on his lap, and it was tradition. We would read 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. And so that was the tradition that I wanted to write this book in. And, you know, I really wanted it to be kind of a family heirloom of sorts where, you know, like Sandra was saying, there's four stories. So you don't have to read it. You don't have to sit down and read it like a novel. You know, you could read it four times throughout the year, and then you can revisit it every year and kind of make it a tradition. And so that was something that was really, really important to me. Again, it's really clean. It's for 8 and up. It's not too scary. There are some kind of maybe tense action moments, but it's not too scary for kids. It's just a great. I'll go back to and use the word family heirloom. I really think it's a great piece for families.
That's great.
Yeah.
Kaden, did you have some questions?
Yes, I did. I was just making sure. My phone has been a little tricky with hearing everybody, so I wanted to make sure that it was still working. But I definitely now, after hearing about your book, I really want to read it. It sounds really, really beautiful. And I'm hoping to pick up a copy in, is it available in Barnes & Nobles and Amazon and all those areas to buy?
It's only available online, and right now it's only available at Amazon. It's available in Kindle format, and it's available in paperback. And you can either go to Amazon and search for my name to find it, or you can actually just go direct to my website and hit the shop button, and that'll lead you to finding it as well.
And you'll autograph it for us, Greg?
I do offer autograph copies. I do. There's a separate button on my website that says order an autograph right on the front page. Yeah.
Because I know you've offered that before. That's why I asked again.
Yeah, I offer all the books in autographed copies. I also offer a 3x5. I think it's a 3x5. Maybe it's a 4x6 photograph as an autograph as well.
Nice.
It's a picture of me from the Scarecrow and Mrs. King days.
And people pay for that?
Say that again.
I said people pay for that, Greg. I'm sorry. We're jokesters.
No. I mean, they do, but no.
I had
they
to get you back
bookmark.
For the last time. You got me pretty good last time I was on your show.
Now I have to go one up.
I'm just teasing, you know. We're jokesters. You're the biggest jokester that I think I've met for quite a while, so.
That's good. I wouldn't have it any other way.
So when Greg has his show, I know from experience that there is nothing serious in his show. That's what I love about your show.
I know. The one thing I'm having... When I start having it again, I'll let everyone know. But one thing that I'm having trouble with right now on being on your show as a guest is I don't have my laugh track button.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's right. Well, we could do that for you. We could laugh and then we could clap.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm Sanders laughing and you're laughing. So that's
good. Oh, Pamela, I miss you.
Well, I miss you guys too, very much so, and I miss your show. So you'll have to bring it back, and then I'll share it with our audience too. Can even make it part of our announcement. Yeah, and then hey, we'll have a whole following for both of us, won't we?
That would be great. That would be great.
So do you have some more questions?
I have some questions because what we like to do in our show a lot of the times is provide resources or tools and advice for people, especially students. And so there are obviously many students interested in creative writing and writing in ways that you've done before. So I was curious as to what advice maybe you would have for young writers or how you got started writing and what was your process that you found was the best way to demonstrate your ideas in books and to have them be successful.
It's actually that's a multi-layered question, so I'll answer it multi-layeredly.
Yes.
I got started writing poems because I was very undisciplined as a writer. I couldn't just sit down and start writing long paragraphs, long chapters. I just didn't have the discipline because I started writing poetry when I was a freshman, I think, in high school. So I was 14, 15, something like that. So I started writing poetry, and that's how I started writing, is that I would just sit down. But it actually grew from a love of reading, and that is an essential element to writers, that if you're going to write, you need to read. You can't do one without the other. And I know that people think that they can, but really you can't. You need to be a reader in order to be a writer, because you need to go out there and you need to challenge yourself with new formats and new genres and new ideas and material, because writers that have come before us have explored relationships and explored ideas. And you know, the old saying is that there's no such thing as a new idea is kind of true. And what you're doing is you're taking developed ideas and you're putting your spin on it. And so if you want to be a writer, you have to be a reader. And so that's how I started, is that I started reading Shel Silverstein, you know, Where the Sidewalk Ends, as far as poetry, he's like my all-time favorite. If you read a lot of my poetry, you'll see a lot of that in there, a lot of the humor. Most of my stuff rhymes. But I was also a huge Edgar Allan Poe fan, and as a kid, believe it or not. And so that's where my influences came from. So I started writing poetry. Well, I had to grow and mature in order to sit down and write a novel. And what it takes is, when people ask me, what does it take to be a writer? I say, sit down and write. If you can only write a couple of sentences a day, then only write a couple sentences a day, but do that every single day. Because if you write two sentences a day, at the end of a week, you'll have 14 sentences, right? And that's a lot. And if you do that and you just keep going at it, pretty soon you'll build up a body of material. And I'll go back to climbing mountains. Writing a book or writing anything in long form is a lot like climbing a mountain. You never look at the top of the mountain and say, that's where I want to be. You always look at the tree that's 100 yards away from you, and you say, that's my goal. I want to reach that tree. And when you reach the tree, then you look at another tree that's 100 yards up, and you do that until you reach the top of the mountain. And then you do that on the way down. It's the same with writing a book. You sit down and you say, today I want to write 500 words, or today I want to write 10 sentences. And you do that. And then tomorrow you do it all over again. And the next day you do it all over again. And pretty soon you'll have a book, or you'll have something long form that is tangible. And then you'll go back and you'll spend countless hours editing it and doing all that. But if you want to write, you need to be a reader, and you need to sit down and just write, whether you want to or not. If you write 500 words today and 1,500 words tomorrow, that's fine, as long as you're writing every single day.
Wow. That sounds more challenging harder than most people would think. I know that from when we initially kind of met, which it's interesting how we met, because all I did was like the Scarecrow and Mrs. King's page. And then you had put on there, you know, for any writers that need any advice, there needs to be more writers in the world, and don't be afraid to ask me questions. And I was like, wow, really? And then I have a lot of youth that are writers. They either write poetry, or they've even written their own curriculum, or they've written, you know, just poetry, but whatever. And so I'm always kind of looking for resources for them and tips and stuff. And then I'm trying to be a writer, but anyway, it's a challenge for me, because I was trying to do like a personal life story, and that's the hardest to do, I think, because I don't feel like my life's over either, you know. And I've been working on it for almost 20 years, I think. So it's gotten ridiculous, but I thought, okay, well, I'll ask you. And then you were so kind. You really wrote like multiple paragraphs, and you were answering my questions and everything. And that was wonderful. So
good.
I mean, I know how hard that is, though, especially if it's, you know what I mean? If it's your, if it's a personal story, I find that to be the most challenging. My cousin, he put out like a poetry book. And like I said, I have some youth and the group that they write poetry and so forth. And I think they have it a little easier than someone that's trying to put a personal take on it. Would you agree with that or not?
Not necessarily. You know, a lot of people will try and write something they don't know anything about. And that can be really challenging in the fiction genre. You know, they want to write a cop novel or something like that, and they don't know anything about the field, and so, I mean, they could do it, you know, anybody can make anything up, but, you know, it's
that's
a matter of whether
reading
or not it's
in.
Believable. Right. But for you, if you're writing something that's personal, if it's deeply personal, or if it's just, you know, some of the experiences that you've had, you're never going to write the finished product the first time around, you know. And that's, I think that's where a lot of people really get anxious and nervous, is that they think that they're writing the final book, you know, when they sit down to write. And the idea is to just sit down and start putting thoughts on paper, because the editing process is going to be twice as long as the writing process. And you just kind of need to accept that going into it.
And see, I'm
so
at
when
that
you go
stage.
Into it,
I am at that stage, but I have my stepmother. She's wonderful. And she was a teacher and very good with grammar and so forth. So I really have her going through one sentence at a time and adding or changing or, you know, so I am fortunate to have someone like that on my side.
Right. But, yeah. And, you know, my website and the social media, especially for me, is an opportunity to communicate with other writers and other creative people, and even people that aren't creative, you know, that maybe are just fans of the show or fans of my books.
What's
it's
your
an
site?
Opportunity for me. It's www.mortondesignworks.com.
Okay.
And it's all one word. And
don't you have a .org? I thought you had a .org.
Yeah, it's also .org. And a lot of people go, is it .org? It's .com. It's both. If you go to .com, it'll take you to .org. If you go to .org, then it's the same as .com. So I own both.
Oh, okay. Great.
So.
I don't know if we shared the number for people to call in. I've had people in the chat, but no one's asked any questions yet. But our guest call in is 347-633-9225. We don't have too much longer, but if somebody wants to call in, they can. Now,
right.
I know that you also ran multi-million dollar businesses too, right?
That's what I did for 20 years out of high school. Is that I got out and I went to work in the transportation and warehousing field. And, I made the mistake of not going to college right out of high school. And it was something that I always regretted, but I just wasn't ready. And so I just went straight to work. My dad was in the transportation and warehousing industry, and so he'd got me my first job, and it just kind of – I kind of stuck with it. And I found a niche in building relationships with people. And I worked for companies like Big Lots and who else? McMaster Car is a supply company. I worked for Cardinal Health, which is a medical supply company. I worked for Safe Light Auto Glass. I worked for some really large companies managing distribution operations and, you know, multi-million dollar budgets and things like that. And I was always tasked with taking a group of individuals and creating a team. And that's what I excel at. I excel, it's called employee engagement. In the industry, it's called employee engagement. And that's getting the employees engaged in their job, in the work that they do. And so, you know, I won some awards and employee of the year and things like that. And I did that for 20 years. And I've incorporated a lot of that motivational technique and that relationship building into my social media. Working in warehousing and transportation wasn't something that was a lifelong dream. You know, I'm more of a creative personality, and so I kind of wanted to do that for a living. And so I've kind of transitioned the second half, what I'm considering the kind of the second half of my career, is moving into doing more of the writing and stuff. But yeah, I started right out of high school, working for some really, really large companies. And it's a valuable experience. You know, it was a growing experience and allowed me to do some of the things that I'm doing now because of the maturity level that I've achieved.
Right.
I am mature, right, honey?
Now I'm laughing out loud again. I don't know. I think I know you guys just a little too much now from your radio program. You're very
okay,
immature,
so
Craig.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe I'm a little immature, but, you know, I have fun.
I was delayed reading
you're
the cue cards.
Hey, you're mature in some ways, the ways that count, you're mature.
Yeah, and all I'm hearing right now is you're becoming gray. So, but you still act like a 13-year-old. That's what I'm hearing from you. It's okay. I'll accept 13, I guess.
There you go. So I think we're running out of time, aren't we, Kaden? Or?
Yes, we have about a minute left, but I think that we covered most of everything we wanted to talk about. I think the only thing... Oh, no, we did. We covered the websites and ways that you can find the book online. And so I think now we just have to announce what our next show will be, which will be next week, September 14th, I believe. And it will be on confidence building in youth, socially and academically. So come and join us for that show next week at the same time. And thank you so much, Greg, for being on our show. Definitely as someone who has not met you before, it was really, really enjoyable, and I learned a lot, and I'm really excited to read some of your books and dive into that. So thank you again so much for being on with us.
And Sandra, thank you, Sandra, for coming.
Sandra. and Sandra.
Awesome.
You're welcome.
Yep, thank you for having us. It was an honor. We really appreciate it. We had fun, too.
Oh,
I had fun.
Thank you. It was an honor for us, too. What'd you say? What were you going to say, Sandra?
Oh, I just said I had fun.
Oh, well, wonderful. That's even more important, isn't it?
Yes.
Happy wife, happy life.
Absolutely.
All right.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everyone, and we will see you next week. Have a good weekend.
Raise me up to more.